Everybody take your Bibles out, please, and turn. We're going to turn to two different passages of Scripture. One is found in Acts chapter 4, verses 31 through 33, and the next one is Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. So we'll turn to Acts chapter 4 and verse 31 first. If you find it, please stand in honor of God's Word. Acts chapter 4, verses 31 through 33 says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. The Bible says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Let's pray. Dearly Father, thank you so much for these passages of Scripture. And dearly Father, we desperately need to hear from you. Dearly Father, I pray that you just meet with us and do something so great and so mighty that only you can get the honor and glory. Dearly Father, I'm just your servant. I pray that you use me as you see fit. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I was debating on whether to preach a Christmas-type sermon or a New Year's sermon, and God gave me this one, and so it's obvious what God wanted. And the title of my message is, "What If and Why Not?" What if and why not? As my family knows, there's a phrase that I do not like around my house, and that's "what if." Because too many times we use the "what if" to worry. Well, what if this were to happen? Or what if that were to happen? And by the way, I believe that worry is a sin. And do you do it? Let's move right along. And listen, I think all of us, because of our human nature, we battle worry and we battle other things. But listen, as we close the old year, and I know it's not quite closed yet, but I believe this Saturday is going to be, no, Saturday is the first of the year. And so the last day of the year is Friday. And so as we get ready to close the year, you know, this year was a lot of change. You look at, and I know the change started earlier than this year, but we had the COVID outbreak, and it seems like all the variants, and we had all the restrictions, and hyperinflation, and all this other stuff. It seems like the world is changing every day. Just the other day, I was talking to one of my children about how different it was when I was a kid versus today, and there's been a lot of change in the world, and you know, maybe there's been a lot of difficulty as well. And, you know, some have lost loved ones and we miss very dearly. And it just seems like so many difficulties. And some might have had financial difficulties. And some people, maybe their health is not what it used to be. And sometimes health is one of those odd things that can change in just a very short amount of time. And by the way, as a little side note, this is why we need to thank God for what we have while we have it. Because I learned a while back when I broke my ankle that, you know what, it takes one event to change your life. And then I got had back problems, and I found out just how much permanent altering your life can have. But listen, maybe some of us have found ourselves backslidden. But whatever it is, it's behind us. And by the way, let me turn to Philippians chapter 3 and let's see, verse 13. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. The Bible says in 13 and 14, "Brethren, I count not to myself to have apprehended." And by the way, if Paul hadn't arrived, neither have we. And I don't care who we are, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Too many times we as Christians will wallow in the things of the past, whether they be good or bad. You know, it seemed like too many times we look at past accomplishments and think, you know what, I tell you what, those were the good old days, and I did great things for God. Well, what about tomorrow? And, you know, I talked a little bit in Sunday school about how we look back at the past sometimes at our past defeats, and we say, you know what, I'm not going to attempt anything in the future. And that's not the right look as well. The Bible says that we're supposed to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling, that forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward unto those things which are before. And so there's two words for the new year: what if. And not words of worry, because we know that that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're not supposed to worry about the future. And I love what Pastor Lance said before he left was, the future is as bright as the promises of God. And these two words, what if, like I said, some people can use them as worry. And by the way, the future is always unknown. And many people can worry about the unknown. But when we look at it through the promises of God and through the will of God, they can be bright as the promises of God. And so let's take and use the what if this morning as a time of promise and adventure, a time of faith. And by the way, life is what you make it. We can live in defeat or we can live in victory. And let me encourage you, New Year's is a time of resolution. And hopefully it's not like last year's resolutions. And I don't know, we won't show a raise of hands of how many people have followed through last year's resolutions. And I won't raise my hand and you won't raise your hand. No, but anyways, listen, we all make resolutions that, I'm going to eat healthy. And then somebody brings by a plate of cookies. Mrs. Slater, you shouldn't have. I'm going to exercise. Man, it's snowing out there today. I'm going to be nice. I'm going to be nice to Gary. Well, that's hard to know. Just joking. Gary, I'm sorry. But anyways, I love teasing Gary. Gary's a good guy. But listen, we all make New Year's resolutions, but we need to make sure that we make resolutions and we plan on sticking with them, because 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The words for next year is what if, not words of worry, but what if God were to do great things in our lives and in our church. And by the way, this goes along with the promises or the future is as bright as the promise of God. First point is, what if this is the new year of beginnings? As we look at Acts, there was two great beginnings for the early church found in Acts chapter 2. And we're going to just highlight a few verses because for sake of time, I don't have time to expound on this as much as I'd like. But Acts chapter 2, in verse 1, we see that, And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all of one accord in one place. They all drove Hondas. No, just joking. That was a joke from when I was a kid. What car did the church in the book of Acts drive? It was a Honda. They were all of one accord. there's a few light chuckles across I'm sure you've heard that before. But listen, they were all of one accord. And by the way, for our church, we should be all of one accord. We should all be focused on what God wants. We should all be focused on what does God want us to accomplish in this new year. And we see that, by the way, too many times we want what we want. And this will not accomplish the will of God. And this will make this next year worse than the year past. We need to decide that the Bible says that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all of one accord in one place. And so we see that one accord, their desire was to see souls saved and lives changed. Next in verse 4, we find in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. And so they were filled with the Spirit. And we talked about this a little bit in Sunday school, so I won't elaborate on that too much. But listen, we need to have the mind of Christ. We need to do what God wants us to do. And just like I talked about in Sunday school, listen, we need to be so obedient to the Holy Spirit's prompting that when God taps us on the shoulder, whether it be God, the man of God gets up to preach and preaches a convicting sermon. And listen, we've all been in there and we all start gripping the pew. That's our first response. That's the fleshly response. And we all say, what are people going to think when I walk forward? Well, they're going to think I'm a wicked, evil person. And you know what? Last I checked, we all were. But listen, we shouldn't worry about what other people think. We ought to get in the habit of obeying the Holy Spirit when he speaks. When the Holy Spirit taps us on the shoulder and says, hey, go talk to that person about the gospel. Hey, go talk to that person. And so, listen, they were dedicated. Verse 45, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man hath need. They were dedicated. And so we see here in just this brief introduction, they were dedicated. And by the way, we need to be dedicated to Christ. Too many times we're all about what we can get. Too many times we're all about what we can get in a service. We walk through those doors and we say, you know what? Hopefully none of us are like this, but you've always seen the person that walks back and they fold their arms. Working with teenagers, this was classic. And the first time a teenager came into church, they'd come into the teen group and they'd fold their arms and then just lean back. And it's like, just go ahead and move me. I dare you. And listen, too many times we come into church just like that, and hopefully we don't. But listen, we walk into church and think, what can this church do for me? And you know what? That's not the right attitude. We need to be dedicated. Think about all that Christ has done for us. Think about all. Listen, if the only thing that Christ did for me was to save my soul from hell, that's huge. That's a lot more than we deserve. But listen, God has done so much more. And so we shouldn't come to church saying, what can our church do for us? But listen, the next is found in verse 46. They continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. They were all faithful. We're all faithful. About one of the verses that, to be honest with you, kind of haunt me a little bit, is moreover, it is required among stewards that a man be found faithful. Do you realize that you can be faithful without being talented? You can be faithful without having good looks. Lance, there's hope. And just joking. And listen, you can, you know what? You don't have to be talented. You don't have to have great looks. You don't have to be this person or that person. You don't have to be an eloquent speaker. You don't have to, you know what? God just requires faithfulness. And you know what? The cool part about it is every one of us can be faithful, but it takes dedication. And so listen, this was the time of Pentecost was a great time for the church. And we see through Acts that it was a great time because, you know, what's interesting is there's the math of Acts chapter or in the book of Acts. There's math. How many love math? A couple of weird ones. No, just joking. Listen. Acts was important because of what we just briefly talked about. Look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 47. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Okay, so listen, if I had $2 and let's see, who has lots of money? Stephanie, no, just joking. And so if I had $2 and Stephanie decided to add to me $2, and you know what? That'd be a nice addition. I'd have more than what I had before. But you know what's interesting is because of the obedience in the book of Acts, the Bible says that there were added to the church daily as such as should be saved. But it didn't just stop there. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 5 and verse 14. Acts chapter 5 and verse 14. The Bible says, and believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes, both men and women. So we see here that more were added. So we started out with, because of the obedience of the church, they started out, there's people being added to the church. And then more were added. And you know what? Because of their faithfulness, things got even better. Look at Acts chapter 6, verses 1 and 7. And the Bible says in verse 1, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the day of the administration. And then verse 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and the great company of the priests were obedient to death. Now listen, I don't know about you, but I like multiplication rather than addition. If I'm going to get something, I would rather have multiplication than, listen, would you rather have $2 or would you rather have $2 times 10? Unless it's $2 times zero, and that'd be a bad thing. But listen, we go from adding to more adding to multiplication, and then we see in Acts chapter 16 and verse 5, the Bible says, "And so were the church established in the faith and increased in numbers daily." And then verses 17 and 4, "And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and the chief women not a few." And so we see here that basically it increased and increased and increased. It's all because of the obedience at Pentecost. They were all of one accord. We've seen that they were filled with the Spirit. They were all dedicated. They were all faithful. Now listen, back to the what if. What if our church in 2022 was that sold out? What if our church experienced addition, then more addition, then multiplication, and then multitudes? The difference is how we look to the future and what we do with it. What if? What if? Because 2022 could be a new beginning for you and me. By the way, it could be a new year to receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, the Bible says, Acts chapter 16 and verse 31, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." The Bible says today is the day of salvation. If you don't know Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you do not know 100% sure that if you were to die today, that you'd go to heaven, if you say, you know what, I'm not sure, I may split hell wide open, I'm not sure, listen, today is the day of salvation. The Bible talks about that our life is but a vapor, it appeared for a little time and vanisheth away. Listen, the Bible talks about that when Christ returned, we don't know the day, the hour, but you know what? Listen, we don't know when Christ will call us home to heaven. And so the question is this going to be a new beginning for salvation? Hopefully, for those that don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior, it will be. And by the way, is it going to be a new year as far as witnessing to the lost? When's the last time we shared the gospel with somebody that didn't know whether or not they were going to heaven? When's the last time we gave out a gospel tract? When's the last time we, when the Holy Spirit tapped us on the shoulder and said, hey, listen, go share the gospel with them. When's the last time we prayed for opportunities? One of the most convicting stories that I remember hearing was Brother Jim Bubinski in Michigan. And he would pray for opportunities to share the gospel. One time in particular, he was alone in his house, and he was saying, Lord, you know what? I haven't shared the gospel in a long time. Please present me an opportunity to share the gospel. I'll never forget this. He's alone in his house, and he's thinking, there's no way. You know what? He heard a strange noise outside, and there was a car having car problems going down a street. Now, keep in mind, this street is not like one of the streets around here. This was a street in Freeland, Michigan. It was out in the country. There was barely, you had to almost drive on the shoulder of the road for two cars to pass. This is a street in the middle of nowhere. And he was praying, Lord, present me with an opportunity to share the gospel. This car, putt, 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 sputter, bang, bang, whatever it made, it died right in front of his driveway. Right in front of his driveway. He grabbed his gospel tract and his New Testament, shoved them in his pocket, and walked out the door on cloud nine. And guess what? That person ended up trusting Christ as our Lord and Savior. When's the last time we prayed for opportunities? When's the last time we prayed for opportunities? Because listen, maybe we haven't prayed for opportunities in 2021. And listen, 2021 is almost over. We need to forget those things that are behind. Hey, listen, we can't take and focus on the things that we've done in the past, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Listen, the future is as bright as the promises of God. What are we going to make 2022? How are we going to walk with God? Are we going to be like the church in Pentecost and have folks added daily and then multiplied and then great multitudes coming on a regular basis? Or are we just going to decide that the mistakes of the past are going to be the mistakes of the future? Next is this next year, is a year to confess your sins and rededicate your life to God. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. The Bible says, "If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You see, in 2021, maybe we weren't in the scriptures. Maybe we didn't have a Bible reading plan. You say, why does it seems like every year pastors push those stupid Bible reading schedules? Because you know what? Next year's a new year. And if we want to see great things done in our lives, we're not going to see them if we're not in the Word of God. We're not going to see them if we're not praying. We're not going to see them if we don't have a sincere walk with God. This year is a new year to confess our sins and rededicate our life to God. Because, see, there's a saying, either sin will keep you from the Bible or the Bible will keep you from sin. The idea is that 2022 is not a year of sin. It's not a year of walking away from God. It's not a year of doing my own thing. It's not a year of seeing the results of sin. 2022 should be seeing the results of faith. Faithfulness. We need to have a Pentecost time in our lives where, you know what? We're of one accord with God. We decide that we're going to have the mind of Christ, that we're going to be faithful to church, that we're going to be faithful to Calvary Baptist Church. We need to decide that this is the year of confession, keeping short accounts with God. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 16. Bible says, "For a just man falls seven times and rises up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." The just man falls seven times and rises back up. You see, there will be times that if we decide that we're going to start reading our Bible for the first time, there will be times we forget. There will be times where, you know what, stuff comes up. There will be times where, you know what, some rascal shut off my alarm clock. You know, I don't know if the power went out. And you say, "Well, has that ever happened to you?" Moving right along. And anyways, but listen, you know what? There are times where it seems like stuff comes up. Maybe you've got to be up early and you go through the day and you think, "Oh, you idiot. You forgot to read the Bible." And but listen, you know what? The Bible says a just man falls seven times and rises back up again. You know what? Hey, listen, when we make those mistakes, 2022 should be a time of rising back up. It's, you know what? Maybe we made a mistake. Maybe we forgot one day to read our Bible. Maybe we forgot one day to pray as much as we should. Maybe we forgot to grab some tracts on the way out the door. Maybe we forgot. But you know what? 2022 should be a time of rising back up, rededicating our lives and realizing that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. Because 2022 should be a year to return to our first love. Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 45. I don't know what verse I was supposed to be in, but that's not it. Whatever it was talking about our first love. That this should be a time of, you know, the Bible talks about how we've left our first love. Remember what it was like when we first trusted Christ? Do you remember what it's like, the joy that you felt? I don't, you know, not everybody's a crier. Some people cry when they trust Christ. Some people talk about a burden being lifted. Think back on when you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior and imagine how it felt. You know, the sad part about it is that most Christians, they lose that. Most Christians, you know what? I was at a pastor's conference one day, and a long time ago, and the pastor was preaching, and he said, "You know what? You know what my biggest concern is with new converts? Keeping them away from the people that have been saved a long time." And the reason for that is because when we've been saved a long time, we forget about that feeling. We forget, we think, "You know what? What's that person doing walking the aisle? What's that? Why is he so excited about being saved? Why is he telling all of his friends, you know what? He'll eventually learn not to be so excited." That's not the attitude to have. When 2022 should be a revival of our first love, remembering what it's like when we first trusted Christ. And I believe the problem with most Christians is we forgot what it was like. We get over salvation. And you know what? We should never get over being saved. When I was a young boy in West Richland, Washington, after a week of neighborhood Bible time, I knelt down beside the couch in front of an old big picture window, and I trusted Christ as my Lord and Savior. And you know what? I pray to God that I never get over that. I pray to God that I never get over the fact that, you know what? My feet never have to touch hell. I no longer have, you know what? I don't have to experience the worm that dieth not. You know, worms aren't that bad. It's the snakes that are terrible. And I'm convinced that there's snakes in hell. But listen, you know, I tell you what, I don't have to experience the pain and the torment of hell, because you know what? My Savior came down from heaven and left the glory and splendor of heaven and came to this old sin-sick earth. And I tell you what, you look around and you think, why would the King of Glory ever want to come to this sick and perverted earth? It's because the Bible says, but greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. And there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Christ loved us so much that he would leave the glory and splendor of heaven, the beautiful, awesome, streets of gold and gates of pearl and just more wonderful than we can ever imagine, and left it to be tortured on a cruel cross for my sin and for yours. Tell you what, we ought to never get over that. And 2022 ought to be a revival of saying, you know what, Lord, I don't know why you do that for me. Why would you ever die on a cross and go through all that for me? We need to return to our first love. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. 2022 should be the year that we stop looking back and look forward to Christ. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, the Bible says, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. We need to stop looking back. Like I said before, you know what? It's a common trick of the devil to remind us of our past failures, to keep us from future successes. Seems like when we start to get down, we start to think of our mind automatically goes down, back to third grade. You think, well, crying out loud, what does third grade have to do with anything? But you know what? Satan's trying to use those past failures to keep us from future successes. Don't let the past successes or failures be a means of putting you on the shelf. Don't let 2022 be shelf time. You know, too many Christians nowadays, they look at the circumstances of the world and they think, you know what? Man, I was just talking to somebody the other day. Hey, man, those were the good old days. God is just as powerful today as he was yesterday. God was just as powerful today, is just as powerful as he was in the 80s and the 70s and the 60s and the 50s. You know what the difference was? We weren't willing to be like the Pentecostal. I almost said Pentecostal Christians. That's not what I meant to say. The Christians at Pentecost. And we don't believe like the Pentecostals. And anyways, I don't roll around and froth at the mouth very good. But listen, that we need to take and we need to be willing to be of one accord. We need to be willing to be dedicated. We need to be willing to get sold out. But listen, too many times the devil convinces us to be put on the shelf because, you know, the Bible talks about he's the accuser of the brethren. A lot of times you think about brothers and sisters. Man, they're real good about, you see what so-and-so did? You need to walk in the living room right now because something's on the floor that's broken and so-and-so might be the one that did it, you know? And if those of you that are kids, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And so siblings can be like the devil. And they can be the accuser of the brethren. And man, I tell you what, Satan's like that. He wants to put us on a shelf. But next is, what if this year is a year for answered prayer? What if this year is a year for answered prayer? The Bible says in verse 31 in Acts, and when they had prayed, later on it says the place was shaken. The problem is, the Bible says you have not because you ask not. Do you realize if 2022 is going to be the year for answered prayer, we have to be men and women of prayer. And we need to be prayer warriors. This could be a year for our children to get right with God. You say, well, how's that going to happen? Mainly, if we're the example. that we should be. This could be a year for our spouse to come to Christ or to start coming to church. This could be a year for us to come, maybe to conquer negative attitudes, or maybe to for God to restore our walk with God, or maybe for God to draw our marriages close together. But you know what? Let me focus on this. Is what if this was a year? Acts chapter 4 and verse 31 and 32. What if this was a year for revival in our church? Look at verses 4. Acts chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. They spake the word of God with boldness, and the multitude of them believed, were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things in common. What if this year was a year of revival in our church? The Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. Do you realize that revival is a term often confused and often misunderstood? My mind, when I talk about revival, it automatically goes to the ambulance. And many times we've got called for what they call a full arrest. And what happened is somebody's heart stopped beating. And on the ambulance, we would drive code to the house, and we'd grab all of our gear and rush in, and we'd assess the situation. We'd check for breathing. We'd check for a pulse. And the idea of us being there on that call is to restore or to bring back that individual to a healthy normal. To us on the ambulance, a vegetative state was not a successful code, because we knew that, you know what, there were some people, there was a medication that was given many years ago. They stopped using it a long time. It's called Levofed. And the term among ambulance people was use Levofed and leave them dead. A lot of times Levofed could take and make a heart pump, even though it wasn't on its own. And what had happened was if you were successful on running that code, you would restore normal breathing and heart function with consciousness. And by the way, one of the coolest things ever was in Saginaw, running on the squad, they would have these a yearly get together where all the people would get together and they'd have awards. One of the coolest things ever was being on a call where in through the back walked a young man. He was probably in his 60s, and he walked forward and presented the crews that were on that call. He was a full arrest. And he presented each person on that, every person that ran that call with an award. And basically, it was a thank you for saving his life. But listen, when it comes down to it, spiritual revival is a restoration of the breathing in of God's word and expelling of sin. When we have normal breathing spiritually, it involves this book right here. When we're talking about spiritual breathing, because there's that saying that says either sin will keep you from the Bible or the Bible will keep you from sin. Listen, when we study the Word of God, God's going to confront us with our sin. I guarantee it. You know, for the pastor that says, well, I'm not preaching on sin, you're not preaching the Word of God then. And for the person that says, you know what, I don't believe in confrontation. Well, the Bible is a confrontational book. Every time I read it, I see an area in which I'm like, I need to improve. But spiritual revival starts with the restoration of breathing in the Word of God and expelling of sin. It is restoring a normal heart function so that we love God and wish to please Him, and we have the mind of Christ. It's restoring the normal heart function. And by the way, we should love the things of God. The Bible says, I just lost the verse. But anyways, the Bible says many things on, you know you love God if you love the brethren. Well, listen, if we don't love walking in these doors, we've got a heart problem. We need revival. If we don't love the things of God, we've got a heart problem. We need revival. And it's bringing back consciousness. It's being conscious of the spiritual battle that goes on around us, realizing that all of our decisions have consequences or rewards. And we need to realize that, listen, if we walk in here with a bad attitude, it affects the spirit of the service. Do you realize that we can throw a wet blanket on a service that God wants to use in a great way? Or we could take and we can walk in here and decide that we're going to be eager to hear the things of God and we're going to be open to what God has for us. And you know what? If God taps me on the heart, you know what? I'm not going to be clenching onto the pew. I'm not going to be saying, I wonder what so-and-so is thinking about or what I'm going to look like. You know what? I'm just going to make a beeline to the altar because I know that, you know what? God has some decision that I'm going to make, and I'm going to make it, and I don't care what anybody else says. By the way, many times that's what starts a revival, is somebody saying, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm going to make it public that I, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That, you know what? I want what God wants, no matter how it makes me look. But that is what revival is. 2022 should be a year of revival. Revival will make this year a year of forgiveness. Revival will make it a year of sharing. Revival will make it a year of reconciliation. But the question is what if? What if? You know what the difference between the two what ifs is? One what if says, I'm worried about the future. One what if says, I'm going to change the future because I know a God that can change the future. What if this is a year of evangelism? Verse 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Here's one of the greatest lacks in churches today. We fail to share the gospel with those around us. 2022 should be a year of personal witnessing and soul winning. You see, all of us are surrounded with people that don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior. And do you realize there are some philosophies out there? Well, it's the pastor's job. Yes, the pastor should be a soul winner. Yes, the pastor should be sharing the gospel with everybody he meets. But you realize that as a person that sits in the pew, we have a responsibility as well to share it with everybody we meet. Because you know what? We can't just pay a pastor to witness. He doesn't run across everybody we run across. And by the way, the command in the Bible is given to all of us. We should be soul winners. By the way, every one of us should have tracts that we pass out on a regular basis. You say, well, that's the pastor's job. We missed the boat. Then 2021 will be as much of a failure as 2022 will be. Because we are to, the Bible talks about that we are supposed to look to the future. The last question I want to ask tonight, or this morning, is consider two more words, why not? For with God, nothing shall be impossible. All these things can happen in our lives, but only if we let them. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this message. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to ask the right question on what if, and then conclude with why not. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to, when the Holy Spirit taps on our heart, that we would respond. We'd get so in tune with the things of the Spirit that every time He taps us on the shoulder that we decide, I'm just going to do it. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.